Now, Janetta Harvey is written about two of her dogs. First, it was Susie Belle, and then came Twinkle, both miniature schnauzers and both rescued from puppy farms. Her latest book is called Saving One More. The RSPCA estimates that the illegal puppy farming industry is worth in excess of £100 million. Breeders are said to hide the fact that they're turning over hundreds of dogs as quickly as possible, with no regard for the animal's welfare. The new owners can be saddled with huge vet bills, or the dog dies within a few weeks. Janetta is a campaigner for what's now an international problem.
I was aware of puppy farms years and years ago when I first got my first puppy. I bought her from what turned out to be probably a dealer in puppy farm dogs, and like many people today, I turned a bit of a blind eye to the reality. She was a very happy dog and healthy, and died when she was about 14 and a half, so we had a good number of years with her. But when we lost her, I wanted to adopt. So I started to look for rescue dogs, rescue schnauzers, and I came across an organisation that rescues puppy farm breeding dogs. And my eyes were opened widely to the scale and the suffering that puppy farm dogs experience.
So what do we mean by a puppy farm?
There's no set definition for a puppy farm, but a good one that's pretty widely accepted is that it's a breeding facility that breeds dogs on an intensive basis with the primary aim to make money from them. There's usually little or no attention to their welfare or their health. The conditions that the dogs live in these facilities could be at best described as adequate, and more often than not, they're inhumane, and any average caring person would consider the conditions inhumane.
But doesn't everybody who breeds puppies want to make money from them?
Possibly, but the primary motivation for good, responsible breeders is actually to maintain a breed health, a breed standard. They will do health checks. They will make sure that hereditary conditions are screened for and that they don't continue in their lines of breeding. But a puppy farmer's motivation is entirely to make money from those dogs. They don't care about anything like health screening. They don't care about hereditary conditions. And in fact, hereditary conditions are rife in puppy farmed dogs.
So what conditions have you actually found animals being kept in?
They can be kept in appalling conditions. In the rurally located puppy farms, the dogs are often housed in old, disused agricultural buildings, and there could be 100 or 200 breeding dogs kept in small concrete pens with no bedding. They're filthy conditions, there's often no light. The stench is dreadful. The dogs never get out of the concrete pens that they're kept in. There are suburban breeders that are commonly referred to as back street breeders, and they will keep dogs in sheds in the garden, so they will be kept in, you know, there could be 10 dogs kept in a garden shed breeding, never seeing outside of that shed. Or they could be kept in the home. So very often nowadays there's a recognised industry, the backstreet breeding industry, where the dogs will maybe kept in a room in a residential home, stacked on top of each other in cages, and there could be 10 or 15 dogs kept like that their entire life.
Now, you've adopted two.
I've adopted three now. Because we lost Susie Belle. Yeah.
Well, Susie Belle and Twinkle, you've written about. What sort of behaviour patterns did those two dogs have as a result of being bred in a puppy farm?
Susie Belle was the first dog that I adopted, and her behaviour was she was extremely fearful of humans. So she would hunker down, cower away from us if we approached. And she was pretty shut down in terms of her behaviour. So normal behaviour that we would expect from a dog living in a home, where a dog would approach us for attention or accept treats from us, Susie Belle just wasn't able to do that at all. And that's quite common behaviour in puppy farm dogs when they go to live in a home environment. It's a very alien world for them because they've lived in such terrible conditions that they're not actually used to humans being kind to them. With Twinkle, her responses were very much more dramatic. Twinkle was feral-like when she first came to live in our home. She'd only been out of the puppy farm a month when she came to us. And her experiences in the puppy farm, she may have come from a slightly different environment from Susie, but her behaviour was very skittish, and she would flee away from us at the slightest fear that she experienced. when we touched her at all, her skin would ripple away in absolute terror, and it took a good 18 months living with us before that stopped.
Now, you wrote about Susie Bell, was your first book. Yep. Why did you feel the need for a second book when you'd had Twinkle?
When the first book came out, I was contacted by a lot of people with such traumatic experiences with their dogs, and their dogs had suffered many health problems as well as psychological problems, that I realised that the scale was enormous, and it's not just restricted to the UK. It's an international business that is based upon purely making profit from breeding dogs. One of the key people who contacted me that really motivated me to write another book was a documentary producer in the States who put me into contact with people who do face-to-face rescue in some of the large-scale breeding facilities, the puppy mills in America. And I started to network with people around the world in America, Canada, South Africa, and the stories that they told me of the conditions that the dogs live in shocked me to the core. And this was after already living with a dog like Susie Bell. But I was really, truly shocked at the scale of the industry and the suffering that millions of dogs around the world experience.
It seems to be an industry run by women. Why do you suppose that is?
All the way through the puppy breeding business, there are women found. So some of the rescuers that I'm in contact with who build very complicated, complex relationships with the puppy farmers, the people they're dealing with are the women. So the women are keeping these dogs in horrific conditions, breeding from them, making the money, then handing over the breeding dogs almost at death's door very often. And they don't seem to make the connections between the suffering they're causing and the business they're running. It's one of the things that's really struck me is throughout the whole industry, there are the puppy farmers are very often women, the rescuers are very often women, the campaigners and investigators are very often women, and then of course the puppy buyers are often the women buying the puppies to live in the home.
So what do you advise people who are thinking of buying a dog?
So my advice is to take your time, to do a lot of research into the kind of dog that you want and whether you can give that dog the life it needs. Take your time finding a reputable breeder and expect it to take time. We shouldn't expect to think about getting a puppy one day, look online, find a puppy for sale and take that dog home within a day or so.
And what do you need to know if you're adopting a survivor of a farm?
If we're adopting any dog, then we should give the dog time to build trust with us, and we have to establish trust. So if we're going to adopt a dog from a puppy farm background, say for example in the case of Susie Bell or Twinkle, these dogs are severely damaged dogs psychologically and physically. They often have multiple health conditions which take time to heal. So we need to be patient. We need to understand dog behaviour. We understand what has damaged the dogs. We have to understand their responses to living in a home are not going to be that of a normal dog. So, for example, they are not going to accept any normal attention. So cuddles, stroking might be out of the question for a dog from a puppy farm background for some months, if at all, if they ever accept it. You should try to build networks with other people who have adopted dogs with similar backgrounds. And there's quite a few sources of help online because they do have special needs. And it's extremely rewarding to adopt a dog from a puppy farm background, but we should have realistic expectations of how the dog is capable of living.
What did yours give to you?
Enormous pleasure. The pleasure that you get when you see a dog come out of a traumatised state and start to embrace their life with you is so, so rewarding. The first time you see the trust being established and built and reflected back in their eyes, it's pure magic.
I was talking to Janetta Harvey, and her most recent book is Saving One More. In October 2014...